Hey, Drew.
Hey, John.
Have you ever seen...
No.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And this is Awesome Spooky Month.
In the Archive!
This one is about Halloween slash spooky themed movie viewing party.
Experience.
And what is required at the experience and
sure.
What movies.
Well.
Well.
I think it's a user's guide to... The Halloween movie party.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we'll take you through kind of our ideology behind crafting we'll look at what kind of party do we want to have.
Yeah.
And then we're going to discuss how we make that party happen.
All right.
Movily.
And
how do we movily make that happen?
And accoutrement. Right?
Accoutrementally. We should dedicate this to our friend Nathan.
I agree.
I think. Who is the godfather of all Halloween movie watching parties. And I don't think that we could ever hope to describe the methodology that goes through Nathan's head when orchestrating a movie party. I mean, I guess we could sort of discuss what he's done.
Yeah.
But it's beyond words, really. So let's take this back, scale it back a little bit, and let's just say this is sort of this is the layman's guide to the Halloween movie party.
Okay,
right. So if you really want to go all out, the sky's the limit, and you can do anything.
Yeah,
really. There are lots of elements that you can bring into your movie party.
Yeah.
And we say go for that.
Yeah.
But if you're just looking to create a mood and watch some movies with some friends,
yeah,
maybe this episode will help you out.
And I think that we should be transparent in that we're kind of winging this. I think, I know deliberately. I mean, we often, the show is not really planned as such. It's not like we have a script or anything, but... I think we often come to the microphone with ideas in mind, and I came to this one with a few ideas here and there, but I didn't think too hard on it because I thought it may, taint a free-form discussion around what this is, what it could
so
be.
So it's a little experimental. Bear with us.
Yeah.
Come along on this journey. Experiment.
It's our third Awesome Spooky Month episode.
We should say that. I think I had this thought. So you may have noticed, if you've been listening to these in chronological order, you may have noticed that we've sort of beat around the bush, as it were, relating to Halloween.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Halloween is the
crux.
Right. That's
the core.
What inspired Awesome Spooky Month, essentially, is the fact that, we're leading up to Halloween. I think this is a nice progression into Halloween, where we're not talking about what maybe people traditionally associate with the holiday itself.
Yeah.
But I think this is sort of a gateway into that discussion.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe it will lead to that discussion.
Yeah.
Or the movie The Gate. God, what a great movie.
Yeah, I think that when we get into this, the movies may not necessarily be Halloween movies.
Mm-hmm.
They may have nothing to do with the actual holiday, but they may evoke certain feelings that the holiday also would invoke.
Right. October is a long month. There are 31 nights that you can watch movies.
Yeah.
on which you can watch movies.
Yeah.
And here's a bunch of movies you can watch.
All right. Let's talk about the environment first. The party itself.
Okay.
And sort of what kind of setup is required.
Well, you want to be comfy, right?
Yeah, you want good seating. I think here's the trick, because I think what we're going to be proposing here is something of a movie marathon, right?
Well, I think you can go a couple of different ways. So, yeah, you can really dedicate yourself to the marathon.
Yeah.
Viewing, which I think is maybe the most appealing,
uh-huh.
because you know you sort of want a party to feel like it could just go on and on,
uh-huh.
right? So that lends itself very well.
Uh-huh.
Now, the other side of it is and I guess going back to that, I think of like the marathon the way that I think of like those theatrical viewings where they put like an entire series together and mm-hmm. you can like just buy a ticket and come and go, you know, I think of that, especially in a party scenario. Mm-hmm. So you've got a bunch of movies lined up. You're going to watch them as a group, but faces are going to change. People are going to come mm-hmm. and go throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
So the environment is maybe a little more fluid
mm-hmm.
versus, say a viewing party with the specific intent to watch a movie, a very specific movie.
Mm.
Now there is an in between there, I think, but I think one lends itself to a more reverent experience, maybe,
yeah.
where everybody's attention is devoted to the movie. And I think the other end of the spectrum is you can still obviously watch the movie and pay attention to it, but I think the nature of it, the way that the way that the dynamics are changing,
mm-hmm.
I think changes the mood of the party too. Neither of them are bad or good necessarily. They're just a little bit different. Okay. Next slide, please.
Okay. That was excellent.
Oh. I wanted to get that out there because, I mean, I feel like I have been to movie watching parties and uh-huh. they've been all over the map.
Yeah.
And I think that certain movies lend themselves to one or the other.
Mm.
So, and that's kind of the notes that I have made in preparation for this are basically split along those lines.
Right.
Right. So, but you're going to want, for your party, one, you're going to want people to show up. So be cool and have friends or invite strangers.
You want your friends to understand the vision of the party.
Yeah. You got to communicate that up front, I think.
What is expected of them as party guests.
Uh-huh.
What they can expect to experience as party guests, because you don't want anyone to come into it not knowing what they're getting into, right?
Yeah.
To a certain degree. I mean...
Yeah, no, the surprises are okay.
Yeah.
But
you want them to know there might be surprises.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they should be aware of it.
Right. I had a theory... Well, not a theory, but an approach, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sort of gave us your...
I made my opening statement.
Opening statement. And one thing I was thinking about as I thought about this discussion was creating a flow with the movies.
Oh.
That takes you from the beginning of the party to the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that flow depends on what you want the party guests to walk away with,
mm-hmm.
or with what you want them to walk away.
This is a good thought. This is a good line of thought.
Do you want them to walk away thinking the happy season is upon us? Do you want them to walk away questioning society? Do you want them to walk away questioning that good shadow in the corner? Right?
Uh-huh.
That will influence the movie selections and the flow of them, I think. And my first thought, my first concept of this would be a film progression that takes you from sort of lighthearted Halloween-y to maybe not despair, but to sort of bleak and horrific.
Deep and dark.
Yeah. As the night progresses, as we go from day to night, the movie, I think, progression could follow a similar rhythm.
It's always darkest just before the dawn.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, and in fact, maybe it ends with hope.
Oh.
But
maybe not.
And that is, you know, the question mark. The question mark is a staple.
Your party should always have a question mark, I think.
Well, first of all, the time frame should be like, you know, 7 p.m. to question mark.
Let's
put that out there.
Right, sure.
Any good party is going to have that.
And don't start it before 7, though, because, I mean, that's...
Well...
That's bad.
Depends on how many movies you want to get through.
All right.
And people's tolerance. But maybe you... Let's say that. Let's say wanted to sort of end on a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, party guests, there's a sort of verbal contract. You were coming to my party. The movie viewing is... I think should be somewhere between casual and attentive.
Okay. So open for dialogue, but respectful of others' desire to follow the film.
Yeah, and I think also a respect for critical dramatic moments.
Oh, yeah.
If you're aware of them coming, sort of... Let that be the star of the show.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Do you think it's important to have like a public service announcement to that effect before the film starts?
Yeah.
Maybe
that would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Maybe in the communication of the party.
Oh, to that's good.
Partygoers,
yeah.
You could have that in there, and then also make the public service announcement at the beginning for those who didn't read the email.
The party's starting now, and you have until midnight to find the house on Haunted Hill.
The easiest way, right? The most reliable way, perhaps, to communicate the message. But is there something to be said for a letter?
Oh, I think the more theatrical you can be, with tongue placed firmly in cheek,
yes,
I think,
yes,
yeah,
yes, golden. Yes, I agree. Theatrics.
Next slide. Dong.
I like theatrics. I agree. A over the top invitation would be a very exciting thing to receive, I think.
It will definitely take your party up another level on the desirability scale, you know. If you have two parties to go for to choose from,
yeah,
you're obviously going to go with the one that promises
right
something special.
That invitation would really set the tone.
Yeah,
it would be an unspoken indication to the party goer of what they can expect. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. look at the effort that has gone to this invitation.
Yes, you can expect similar level of thought right. to go into the event itself. Yes.
Theatrics. So the party goer knows what they're getting into, right? What about food?
It should be snackable.
Snackable.
It should be relatively platonic, I'm going to say.
Agnostic, perhaps?
I don't. I
mean, taste agnostic?
No, that's not exactly where I'm going.
All right.
What I mean is that it should be something that you don't have to commit a lot of effort to one way or the other.
Okay.
Preparation should not be a major factor.
Yeah.
And the access should be very easy.
This is by the host?
By everyone. Whoever.
But
whatever. However the food is being presented, however it's being assembled, I think...
Let's make a distinction.
Okay.
I think on the host's part, I agree with you. Shouldn't require a ton of prep
mm-hmm.
or a whole lot of complexity to consume.
Right.
However, I think on the guest part, they should feel free to put as much effort... if they would like to put a significant amount of effort into a food item, they should feel free to do so.
Sure. I mean, they should definitely feel free to do that.
However, should they feel free to bring, like a bag of chips?
Yeah. The best spooky movie party foods should be pleasing, but not necessarily draw too much attention to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They should always be secondary to the movies and the guests.
So let me
always
introduce a variable.
All right.
A factor.
All right.
Theatrics.
Yeah.
In all things theatrics. Imagine, if you will, food items themed to the movies you are going to watch.
Ah, this is tricky, man. This is tricky because I like that level of detail. I appreciate that level of detail. However, as a party goer, I would find it frustrating, I think.
Why?
Because I feel like it draws attention away from the overall experience, the big picture. I think it's too granular.
What if I told you those food items would be brought out when that movie played?
I still worry that it puts a little too much attention on the food.
It works into the flow. I would counterpoint that it in fact puts some added attention to the film.
You're looking at this from your flow perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. In which case,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I see that. I understand. I mean, I'm obviously going to allow it. I'm not going to prohibit someone from.
Okay. Well, we'll say that the movie themed food is off the table, literally. Let me ask you this, okay? I'll take a step back, okay? But still in the ballpark here.
All right.
Maybe the food isn't themed to the movies, but what if the food has a spooky theme, okay? Like eyeball soup.
Uh-huh.
Except they're not eyeballs. I don't know what they are. Or... severed fingers, but they're like little smokies.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
That's appropriate?
Yeah. I think that's good because it's not something that. The thing is, what I don't like is the subject of conversation becoming a piece of food. You know, I don't want. I don't mean that as a disrespect to anyone who puts that level of care into the food that they prepare for a party. Well, I'm just saying for my purposes, I want everyone to be in the same zone. I don't want people to be drifting over to the table and talking about how awesome the eyeballs look. No, they really look like eyeballs.
See, but
this one is my eyeball. This one's my sister's
but
eyeball.
See, okay,
this
then you don't want what I just described. Because what I just described is the thing that would draw attention away from.
No.
Like, oh, this is like an eyeball. The eyeball has no meaning beyond spookiness. And I would argue with you, and I'm going to, that if I had created a mechanism by which elevator doors open to dispense red Kool-Aid, it would begin and facilitate discussions around that scene in The Shining. Ooh, I love that scene. Yeah, me too. You know what I love most about that scene is that Kubrick is, you know, showing us. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking because it's somewhat crude. But do you see? Do you see what I mean here?
Okay, but
here's the thing. I'm going to compromise with you on this, and I'm going to say we won't do that. No themed food items. We'll just stick with food that is easy to prepare and easy to eat.
Yeah, good.
That isn't too messy. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing, though. To me, this is just good party food sense in general.
Sure, yeah. This has nothing to do specifically
with the spooky movie party. Which is why I am a little...
You're arguing for...
Unimpressed with it. I mean, I'm happy to show up at this party and eat the food that's there if it's just standard food fare. I love standard party food fare. But we said not 10 minutes ago, theatrics...
Can you not have theatrics in the presentation of the food that...
Yes, you can.
Okay, so...
It could be an elevator. No. Yes, perhaps there's a table, and it's set up, and it's decorated, and that's where the food goes, right?
Yeah. I think that's good enough.
I will waive the messy rule for... wings.
Okay.
For chicken wings. I think that's a good sort of party food that a lot of people enjoy and will make the sacrifice of messiness for.
What about like crab legs?
assuming that this is a movie marathon, mm-hmm. and that multiple films will be viewed.
Okay.
And assuming that people are free to come and go, mm-hmm. And assuming that we, as discussed before, are asking for a casual but attentive viewership.
Okay.
Assuming all those things, should the seating fall, or perhaps is the question, where should the seating fall on the spectrum of comfortable as a bed to uncomfortable as, you know, a wooden plank?
Scale of 1 to 10, yeah, wherein good, 1 good. Is the least comfortable.
Like, I want to leave.
Definitely, yeah, pins in my face.
Why am I bothering sitting?
Yeah. And 10 is deep slumber.
Deep slumber.
Our REM
deep
sleep.
Restful.
Best nap you ever had in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking like right around 7.
That's exactly what I was going to
say. Okay, good.
And
good.
Here's why. Because I would say that we have established that it is fine for you to leave this party and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one form of leaving and coming back is falling asleep for an amount of time.
Sure.
And waking up.
Sure.
And it's a safe
and you want to be, I think you want to be ensconced in the setting. And I think comfort of seating is a big factor.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to constantly be fidgeting or.
So I think what you want is a variety.
Okay.
You want a couch, at least one.
Mm-hmm.
You want chairs with cushions.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you want to avoid chairs without cushions, or perhaps a removable cushion should someone have a particular fondness for a hard seat.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
The couch will facilitate those who might want to fall asleep at some point.
Sure.
And the chair is maybe for the person who won't fall asleep or thinks they won't, and will help them kind of stay awake.
Okay. I'm with you there.
What other seating options am I missing?
Floor.
The floor. Should the floor be carpeted or a rug?
Or hardwood. Well, I would.
It does matter. All right,
we're
taking
all
factors into account here.
It does. It does. I think carpet's going to be your best bet.
All right.
Not only because it's comfortable, but because, again, it's the stickiness factor. You want to be not sticky, not like really sticky, physically sticky, more metaphorically sticky. You know, like you want to. You want to feel like you are a part of that environment.
Yeah.
You are one with the environment.
Yeah.
It's harder to do that on the floor. I feel like you can slide around a little easier, psychologically speaking.
You are a part in a way,
mm-hmm.
or can be.
Yeah. It's very easy for somebody just to come along and shove you aside.
Should the seating all be directed at the movies?
Not necessarily. I mean, not directly at the movies. I think it's okay if it's angled. Obviously, you want to have everybody be able to view the movie.
Right, right, right.
So within a line of sight of the movie.
Okay,
sure.
So all seats should have a view of the film.
Yeah.
In some form. All right.
I think that should be a given.
Okay. Is there, well, decorations. I think this could simply be solved by the earlier statement of theatrics. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of overboard decorations, but you know, I think the key is that you don't want to obscure or you don't want to block anyone's view with
that, and I think you want
with the decorations
the staple activities. You know, you're going to have something to drink and something to eat, and you want to be able to set those things somewhere.
Yeah,
without, you know, having to slide them into a corner or something like that. And you want, if somebody, you got to take into account, like, maybe somebody wants to take their shoes off, you know? So you, I think there should be good space for that, you know, without having to, like, move a mummy or something.
Yeah.
Right?
That could be fun, though.
It could be, but all things taken in under consideration.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that a balance there. You
okay.
know? Some effort in the decor,
yeah,
without impeding comfortable partying.
Yeah, partying.
Partying.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Perhaps we should get to the meat of the matter here. The movies.
I'm going to make you a proposition right here.
All right, I'm going to listen.
So, you have this flow in mind, right?
I, yeah.
Okay. I think
I'm not married to it.
All right. What I'm going to suggest is that as we discuss this movie thing, I think you should present it in your flow.
Okay.
You know, the way you see the flow going.
I mean, I haven't even figured the flow out yet, man.
Okay. Well, that can be
That's
part
what
of
I'm
our discussion.
You.
I'll consult with you on the flow.
Here's what I think you and I can utilize our independent strengths here. I think that you have a wealth of knowledge in these types of films. You have a catalog in your head, a vocabulary by which to speak about them,
okay.
and an understanding of perhaps the feelings and ideas that these movies would inspire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think maybe I have a vision for the flow, a progression that I'd like to see, slots that I'd like filled.
Okay.
And so maybe I can present that and then you can throw out films.
Oh.
For filling those slots.
Oh, okay.
I haven't thought a lot about this.
Okay.
I want to make that clear. I think we're going to stumble.
I don't know if anything's clear in this podcast, but it might be that we haven't thought a lot about it.
It's good.
No,
it's good.
Yeah.
All right. So let me get a piece of paper.
Okay.
Okay. So I can kind of write my thoughts down as we talk.
Do you need a pen?
And a pen or a pencil would be great. I didn't like this pen earlier. Oh, this is a different one. Good. Okay. I liked the earlier discussion where we landed with the end note of this overall progression is a question.
Mm-hmm.
A question mark. And that question is a question of uncertainty. Am I safe? Is it over? Do I dare to hope?
A lot riding on this party.
I know. Okay. So that's where we want to end up.
Okay. Can I posit that there is maybe a different way of interpreting the question?
Yes.
And that is that, and maybe you were going to get to this anyway, but I think you can look at the end result of the night, the impression that you leave your guests with.
Yeah.
Right. I like to think that that is sort of up to them in a way. I like to think that the guests themselves will, through their actions and conversations, decide the outcome of the evening. Their reaction to what they're presented with will collectively dictate the direction that the party goes.
I don't think this is what you're saying. But are you saying on-the-fly movie selection?
No. I'm just saying that the question mark at the end of the night is maybe not so much, is not necessarily one based on the depth or lack thereof of the movies. I'm saying that it is informed by the reaction to those movies by the collective group. And everybody in the group is going to bring something to that collective.
The question is, and it's a question posed at the beginning of the evening. Maybe not explicitly, but perhaps it's the question in the mind of the host. Where are we going together? Where will we end up? So what I need from you is a starter film. A film that is easygoing, light, probably with some comedy in there, but sets the stage. I don't think it has to be, maybe it doesn't have to have any psychological questions or themes. But it simply is the starter film. It should be within the theme of the night, but it should be an easy, you know, movie to get into.
Something that's going to kickstart,
yeah,
this party,
yeah,
and be fairly widely accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you're looking at there is a slasher film, of some type.
That may be a little far.
You think?
Here's the thing. Here's kind of where I think I'm starting.
Okay.
I'm almost thinking beloved kids film.
Oh, okay. Okay. You want something that is familiar enough that people can still be getting settled.
Exactly.
And yeah, okay.
There's a few that come to my mind.
Right, there's a bunch that you could choose from. I think the most immediate one, it's a little short, but The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that.
Here's what Everybody I like that about story. That from the get-go.
Okay.
I would argue that Charlie Brown is a cerebral work.
Yeah.
In of itself.
You don't have to argue that, my friend. You won't get any flack from me.
But it is not on the face of it cerebral.
Yeah.
I think it's something that maybe everyone knows, but perhaps doesn't know.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I like that as a starter.
Okay.
What are we calling that? Great Pumpkin?
Appetizer? Oh, I mean, what's the movie?
What's the movie title, actually?
It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
It's The Great.
I think that's what it's called.
We're going to start with that.
Okay.
Good. Now, second layer. And I'm envisioning, sorry, I didn't make this clear to you, five layers.
Five layers. Okay.
Here's what I'm thinking second layer-wise. I'm going to go a little outside of the box, perhaps. Okay. And maybe this is too early for this, but I'm going to offer up a two-episode Twilight Zone combo because, here's why. Twilight Zone is creepy, freaky kind of content, right?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Weird, off-kilter.
Okay.
It's dependent on the viewer to a certain degree of how seriously they take it. And because of the time in which it was made, the viewer can either focus on the trappings of the quality of the show,
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, look at those funny sets. Or I can't believe
William Shatner's in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they can choose to focus on the quality of the psychological writing, the questions being posed, the mm-hmm. you know, that kind of so it's inviting you, if you're ready, to begin digging into our lairs.
Okay.
Our scare lairs. My God. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's also saying if you're not ready, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
You're not committed to it, but yeah, it's there. I think that's great. I think the Twilight Zone is a gateway drug in a lot of senses. You know, that it's a good way for you to move from very commonplace everyday stories into something that's a little more nebulous and ethereal.
And I think one episode is the one you mentioned, the Shatner episode with the plane.
He's actually been in, I think, 3 episodes.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, I want the one on the plane.
Nightmare at 20,000 feet.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which is the one where, if you haven't seen it, he is on a flight, they're in a storm, and he continually sees something
on the
wing.
Thing. There's something.
Yes.
Someone on the wing. Yeah. What's the other? Because I'm thinking a 2-episode run here.
My favorite Twilight Zone episode is called did we talk about this? We might have talked about this.
Is it the one where the guy is the last one left on Earth?
No, that's Time Enough at Last.
Yeah.
We did. Yeah. I feel like we talked about
the Twilight Zone episode. Just say it.
My favorite Twilight Zone episode is The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, which is takes place in a little residential cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
There's a crash in the distance,
mm-hmm.
And everyone comes out of their houses and says, "What's going on?" Everybody congregates at the curb and talks with each other, trying to figure out what's happened. And in the course of this discussion, certain presumptions are made mm-hmm. by individuals without any real evidence. They're going based on what little evidence they have and some sort of gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the episode, the dynamics change in their environment such that some houses lose power, some houses get power back. And at some point, the the characters start distrusting one another.
Yeah.
And there's a twist to it that I won't reveal.
Of course.
But I think it's a great, it's comical, it's just a little bit playful, but the overall impact of it is one that's, you can't really miss it,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a statement there about human nature.
And, I like it.
Yeah. And a warning, if you will.
So, we'll start with It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Then we'll go into 2 episodes of The Twilight Zone. First, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monsters Are Due
on Maple Street.
Good. Okay. All right. Layer 3. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to pull everyone in. No, there's... Whether they're ready or not. Right? We've been kind to them up to this point. But it's time to... get serious. However, what I want is a nice transition. And I think this is where the slasher flick can come in.
Okay.
So what we need is a slasher flick that has some philosophical questions, right? Forces you to think about things, but also serves the need
uh-huh.
of wanting sort of a flasher.
Delivers
or
the...
flasher. Slasher.
What kind of party is this? okay, the first one that comes to mind then is the original My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, I don't think I've ever heard or seen of it.
So My Bloody Valentine is the best of both worlds in regards to slashers.
I think,
because it's formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the type of thing where you've got a bunch of young people. They get picked off one by one. There's a creepy backstory. There's a guy in a costume with a mask killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all played pretty comically, mm-hmm. in as much as every slasher movie is something of a farce, right? However, it's also, there is a little bit of good Canadian melodrama.
Oh.
And most importantly, I think there is a very credible villain, I guess is the right word, a credible antagonist,
mm-hmm.
With genuine motives,
mm-hmm.
for his actions, obviously amped up a little bit because it's a slasher movie and everything is amped up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends on a creepy note.
Ooh, good. Good.
So there you go. And it's grotesque. There's lots of good gore and bloody stuff in it.
Good. Yeah. I think, and I want to, I feel, I'm concerned I may be causing, or I may cause us to stray. I want to make sure that the spooky and Halloween-esque trappings remain in these films, that they don't just become psychological thrillers,
okay,
or dramas.
That's a good point.
I mean, those are, it's not that those aren't welcome, but I think what is required is some gore or some,
mm-hmm.
you know, scariness or monsters or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I need some kind of anchor in the setting.
Okay.
All right, we're on to the fourth layer.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think what we need, we've hopefully at this point moved people away or are starting to move them away from safety.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, yeah, I think what we need now is a dangerous movie, a movie that will put people on edge and maybe even has a bleak or depressing ending. One that does not end with hope or happiness. A zombie flick might work here, in that most zombie flicks end with everyone dying.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a familiar format, so it wouldn't push people away,
mm-hmm.
with that ending, but it would, however, sort of put you in a mindset of hopelessness or sadness, mm-hmm. or what have you. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a zombie movie, maybe The Night of the Living Dead,
the original. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it has a pretty bleak ending.
It does.
And if you yourself are a zombie film fan, aficionado, what have you, you know that despite the ending being what it is, it's still not over, right? In a way, you know that within the universe of these films, that this is the end of this story.
This continues, yeah.
And so those who may appear safe are not necessarily safe.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, what's nice is it's very contained, right?
Mm-hmm.
The story.
Mm-hmm.
The characters in it are contained. And so their arc is one of seeming futility and despair, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that puts you in that mindset that's necessary. And even though it may seem at the end of the movie that there's not despair for everyone, that if you're, and a lot of people are familiar with these movies, right?
Sure.
You would probably know that beyond this.
Just assume, yeah, there aren't too many one-off zombie scenarios,
right?
You know, it's pretty much always an epidemic.
What do you think?
I like that, and I like it because it has that the happy ending that isn't.
Yeah,
I often find myself trying to defend a movie that I consider a positive ending, even though it is ostensibly not what either not what the characters would want for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the ending that has to be that way, and there is ultimately some resolution to it, but it's just maybe not the resolution that people expect or want. But I think what Night of the Living Dead does is a clever inversion of that, where it's not a happy ending.
Right.
It from outwardly, you know, your sense of stability is restored because at the end of it, you're like, okay, well, they've managed to contain the zombies. Mm-hmm. So we're all good, right? Except that somewhat explicitly at the end of the movie, you're left to question, well, what good is it that
what have we
they've contained
what
the
have
zombies?
We saved?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good pick.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Throw another one on the fire.
Final air.
What do you got?
Now, here's what I want. Here's what I think I want to end the night.
Okay.
I think I want to feel as though we're going deeper into that mindset, that what are we saving here, or mm-hmm. what's the point, right? Almost say existential sort of descent. But at the end of it, I want there to be hope. I want there to be maybe not triumph, but
mm-hmm.
but to answer the question, yes, it is worth it, right? I want to end on a sort of an up note to a certain degree.
Hmm. Okay.
Maybe the up note in this context is not like everything's great, but just that we're going to be okay. We're damaged. We're hurt. But we made it out, and there's a horizon.
Hmm. How about, have you ever seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original?
No.
I think that is maybe a good compromise of the bleakness of layer four.
Okay.
And the possibility slash relief of layer five.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that is...
Tell me why.
Well, because it's... There are very few movies that I think get as uncomfortable without dipping into exploitation.
Gratuity.
Yeah, yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, though it has a reputation for being, you know, it's sort of shorthand for grotesque, over-the-top indulgence, mm-hmm. you know. It's really not a very gross movie. Mm-hmm. There's very little blood, hardly any, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little on-screen violence.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tone of mm-hmm. it, and it reaches sort of a frenzy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what you're maybe alluding to with this idea of scarring and damaging, mm-hmm. you know, to where you come out a changed person.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that you don't, if you are willing to give Texas Chainsaw Massacre the time to do its thing.
Yeah.
Which
and hopefully we've primed
not
them.
A lot of people are, I find.
But hopefully at this point in the scare layers, we've primed the viewer.
Yeah.
To give this movie their attention.
Okay. Good.
They're malleable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say to you that I think this is a pretty good list.
I think it's pretty solid.
There are some classics in there, some surprises.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good. I'd like to go to this movie marathon.
Okay. Well, hopefully somebody out there will invite us.
Yeah.
I guess we could just watch them ourselves.
So now you should be primed, right? We have given you the tools, the guidelines.
Yeah, you're ready.
The things to think about and to follow. Look, you make your own rules.
Yeah. All right. You can pick your own movies.
We're not telling you what to do, what we want you to do, but we think this is a good approach, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're at a loss.
Yeah, maybe, that's maybe, good. If you need just a little bit of a goose, yeah. You know, you need something to.
Exactly.
Something, just a little nudge in the right direction.
You can take this.
This is our nudge.
All right.
There you go.
If you want it, it'll be in the archive.